AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the RHO podcast. Today, I'm going to be doing some Q&A. I got some interesting questions. A couple of them are a culmination of different variations of the same question that I get a lot. And then a couple of them are pretty direct questions that we've got over the last, few months. I haven't done like a specific, hey, I'm going to do a Q&A episode. What do you guys got? It's more of just people ask a lot of these questions. Some of them, again, a lot of the same type of questions. And then a couple specific ones I thought were interesting and I think may be helpful. But before I get into all that, don't forget about our partners for the RHO podcast. Racks Big Game Supplements is one of them. You guys can go to racksmineral.com and check them out. They've got minerals, they've got protein blocks, they've got meal feed and pelletized feed. To get the feed, you have to find your local dealer, though, so you can do that on the website as well. Again, that's racksmineral.com. You can use the discount code FULLDRAW if you go over there on their website and order something. Also, Rodney Hawkins with Midwest Farm and Land and RG Outdoors. And Midwest Farm and Land is a real estate company. They specialize in recreational properties, but they also do residential stuff as well. Rodney is an agent with them. So if you guys are looking to get into some property in Illinois, or if you're looking to sell some property in Illinois, he can help you out with that. And his business is RG Outdoors, where they sell all kinds of outdoor products, equipment, cameras, patio furniture, blinds, stands, e-bikes. He's got all kinds of stuff. He's adding new stuff all the time. So you can check that out at RG Outdoors on Facebook. You can also contact him directly about any of that stuff at 618-925-3153. Our website is richhunteroutdoors.com. If you guys find anything on there, use the discount code RHOPOD. That's all caps, no space, and you get 10% off of everything there. If you're on YouTube, hit subscribe, like, comment, all that kind of stuff. There's going to be a couple places in here where I'm going to ask you guys for your thoughts, so use that comment section for that. If you're on audio only, you guys can follow us there. If you have thoughts on the episode, feel free. I think there are comments now on Spotify. Put them in there. You can also email us or send us a message to the website or our socials, which are Ridge Hunter Outdoors. We'd appreciate a follow there on Facebook and Instagram as well. And we always appreciate the questions and the interaction that we get with the audience. It makes it a lot more fun to kind of get some back and forth with you guys that are listening. So this is going to be a good one for that. And the first question that I got is one of those that is, I get a lot of different variations of this same question in different scenarios. So I'm just going to kind of put them all into one, and then I'll talk about a few of the different scenarios, I guess, of what might change it. And simply put, I missed a big buck. Will he be back? I actually just had this one recently, and one of the more common questions that you see and that we get are right down this line. And to answer it, maybe. And to add on to that, it depends. There's a lot of variables that go into whether or not that deer is going to come back after you missed him. One of the biggest ones is, did he know what happened? So we've all seen it where you've either shot one or you shot at one and you didn't have to stop him. Even if you did, he didn't look up at you or nothing like that. And you shoot and he was just feeding or stopped smelling something or working a scrape and he bounces off. Or if you hit him, he just takes off running and he dies running, or he stops and he falls over because he had no idea what happened. We've all seen that. In that scenario, I would say there's a likely chance that that deer would be back, because they're out there in the woods every day. Limbs fall all the time, loud noises, trees fall, things crashing through the timber. You've seen tops fall out of trees and big wads of leaves on branches and stuff like that. So it wouldn't be out of the ordinary for something like that maybe to happen. Might be a little bit different noise than they're used to, but again, there's so much going on out there that they're always out there for. They could, maybe it spooks them away from that spot for a day or two, but for the most part, if they don't know what happened, there's a good chance they're going to be back. Another part of that, not knowing what happened, is did they see you or smell you? So even if they didn't know exactly what went down, that you shot at them, if they saw you afterwards or right before while you were drawing, or if they smelled you after the shot or like before and that's what stopped them and you got your shot off, then you're like, maybe not. If he comes back, it may be in the dark. It may be a little bit off of where he was that time. He's probably not going to walk through the same little area that he did when that happened, because he's going to remember that. I'm not saying he wouldn't come back, but if any of those happened, he saw you or he smelled you or anything like that, where he kind of knew what the deal was, there's a likely chance you won't see that deer again in the daylight, unless a doe drags him by, something like that. And that's the other deal. Was he with a doe when you shot at him? If he was with a hot doe and you shot at him, even if maybe he saw you, if that doe didn't and she runs off and she comes back, he could be back 10 minutes later. Because when they're on a hot doe, they really don't care about much else. They get pretty stupid when they're following that doe. So if she didn't know what happened, then like it's likely she could be, like it's likely, she could be back within, you know, 10, 15 minutes, an hour, the next day, a week from now, whatever, and he might be right behind her. Obviously, if it's a week and she's a hot doe, he's probably not going to be still behind her, but you get the point. Also, that goes into what time of year is it? Early season, you might be able to get away with a little bit more because they haven't had as much pressure. During the rut, again, especially if they're with a doe, you get away with a lot more. He might be back. Late season, especially after the gun season, man, that dude might go dig a hole and lay in it until March if you miss him and he has any idea what might happen. Because at that point, they've had so much pressure on them. They've gone through so much of the year. They're stressed out anyway from being post-rut, from most of their food sources being gone. If it's that time of year, it's going to be really tough. He may be back, but I wouldn't count on it. There's a couple examples of this. Nate, you guys have been watching Fall Pursuit the last few years. He missed the 6x5 in season one, and a clean miss, 40 yards. He did have to stop the deer, but the deer had no idea what happened. He snort-wheezed him in, so he was looking for a fight. He shot over his back, the deer bounced off, and he was gone. And then he started getting his picture again, ended up killing that deer in gun season, second gun season, I think, about 2 weeks later. So that's an example of one where he missed it. The deer had no idea what happened. He didn't see us, didn't smell us, anything like that. He came back. Nate got another shot with the firearm and took him down during that gun season. Last year on season two, Nate had the buck he called Palmer, a big 9-point, come in the food plot. Similar distance, 35, 40 yards. Shot over his back, but the arrow skimmed it just a little bit. Basically slapped him on the back. That deer hasn't been seen since. There's also been kind of the opposite of that, where you'll see a deer even gets hit and he's right back in there because he didn't really know what happened. And again, there's so much that happens in the woods, especially if they're during the rut and they're looking for a fight. They might think another buck got them and they didn't know what happened. They're not that smart. But, for example, Nate's buck, the 9-pointer, was during the rut. It was shortly after Veterans Day because we saw him on Veterans Day and then he shot him after that. However, that deer came across the food plot. Nate stopped him. I don't think he really knew what happened, but that arrow hit him, and he's never been seen since. No pictures, no sightings, nothing like that. So that's kind of a both sides of the coin there. The last two that I've missed, going back to, I think one of them was 2020, and the other was either 18 or 21. I don't remember. Somewhere in that range of 18 to 21. I missed a couple bucks. Most of the time, the luck that I've had since then, I've hit the bucks and not found them. So that's a whole different deal in its own. If you hit them, I mean, it's a crapshoot whether they're going to be back or not. But both of these bucks are another example of a variable that comes into play. So neither of them that I missed came back. One of them saw me. He was a super old buck. I think he was deaf. I don't think he smelled very well. I tried to stop him. He didn't. I shot. The arrow was tracking perfect. Of course, he didn't drop. It went right underneath of him, right behind his front legs. Basically, where I was aiming, just about 6 to 10 inches low from where it really needed to be. And he hopped into the brush, but he could still see up in the tree, and he looked right at me, and he knew what the deal was. He saw me up there, and he left. And I never saw him again. No more pictures, no nothing. The other buck was right at last light. He came in. He was about three steps closer than the spot I had ranged. I shot over his back. He bounced off. Same deal, except he didn't know what happened. Never saw him again either. But what those two bucks had in common was, even though I had had pictures of the old buck, it was within that week that I shot at him. Both of those deer were just passing through the area. They were not, that was not part of their home range. It was not part of their core area. It might have been on the fringe of their range, their outer range, where they were just kind of moving through. But both of those deer showed up. I got a shot at them, and that was it. It wasn't like there was a lot of history there. They weren't living there. So that's another aspect of that, too. If it's a buck that's just coming in after a doe or coming in checking for does or something like that, even though he might not have been back anyway, even if you hadn't have got a shot at him, it may have been the only time you were going to see him no matter what. So that's a variable as well. And I think that was the case on that second buck. The one that I shot and saw me, he wasn't coming back no matter what because he saw me and he knew what happened. But the other one, like him, was just in there maybe for a day or two, and then he was going to leave anyway, I think. So there's a lot of reasons why or why not that deer would come back after you missed him. So if you missed him in one of those, in one of those scenarios I talked about where you got a chance of him coming back, don't lose all hope. Keep your cameras running. Check and see what you got there. In those other scenarios, you might want to, you can still run your cameras and stuff, but if you don't see him showing back up, maybe change and go after a different buck, especially if that was like a target buck yours or something like that. He may come back in the late season. He might come back next year, but some of those cases are just, they may never come back. Other cases, they're going to come back. It might be way later. It might be the next year. So keep all that in mind when you're thinking about your buck that you missed and if he'll be back or not. Hopefully that helps. The next one I got is one that is more specific. And I thought it was pretty interesting. And I was going to end with this one because I have a lot of thoughts on it. But the two at the end kind of go together and they'll be a little bit quicker. So this one, I kind of summed up the question, made it a little more concise. Why aren't there more women hunting? And to be honest, I don't really know. I just have some theories, I guess, on it, some reasons I think could go into play. And this is one of those where I'll, again, at the end, ask for your guys' thoughts too. But if you have thoughts on that right off the bat, leave a comment and let me know what you think. But here's a few that I kind of just was sitting and thinking on, some reasons that I could see maybe why there aren't as high a number of women hunting as there are men. So I would say a good portion of them were never introduced to it. I mean, it's not a really girly thing to do if you think about it. So I'd assume at a young age, they're not really attracted to the idea of hunting, especially if no one around them got them into it and got them started in it. So if that happens, I don't think they seek it out like men do later in life. So I know a lot of guys that didn't even start hunting, had no one to introduce them to it. They didn't even start hunting until 20s, even 30s, but they went and sought that out. Whereas I don't think the women seek it out quite as much because, again, it's not necessarily as appealing at a young age and there's never that draw to it. Even if they maybe see it on TV, I don't know if they're drawn to it like a boy is at a younger age to where it plants that seed and maybe later in life he goes and finds that on his own, even though he don't have outside influences. But I think that's probably a big one. It's just not a very attractive thing to do at a young age. And if they have no one that does it and can teach them about it and get them hooked on it, they don't really ever have any reason to go find it and start doing it for themselves. Maybe that's a reason, one of the reasons. Another one, women tend to be more caring and kind, so killing things doesn't always resonate with them as much. I mean, obviously, none of these go for everybody, and I'll talk about that a little bit here in a minute, but this is just, again, some thoughts on why it seems, on why it could be that a lot of women don't hunt. Typically, as kids, girls will watch a movie like Bambi, and they're sad that his mom died. And the boys that are watching it, at least the ones that I know, especially the ones that end up hunting, are watching it thinking how good Bambi's dad would look on the wall, right? You guys all have him on your bucket list or on your hit list of like target deer or whatever. Bambi's dad is like on the top of everybody's from their childhood for sure. Girls, though, I don't think thought about it that way. They're probably pretty brokenhearted that Bambi's mom died. And there's that connection, too, that the movie makes with the mother and the child and the female and all that kind of stuff. So there's that aspect of it too. I think at heart, generally, women are more kind and more caring. So again, they may not be as apt to go out and kill something as a guy might. Time probably has a lot to do with it also, especially for mothers, and mothers who are married to a hunter. So if dad hunts and the mom realizes that he's passionate about it, and it's only his only hobby, it's what he does when he has time off of work to relieve stress and get out there and get away from everything, and they know that's his thing and they let him go do it. But when that happens, somebody's got to take care of the kids, somebody's got to take care of the bills and the house and everything else that we forget about when deer season rolls around. So even if they wanted to get out there, they don't necessarily have the time to do it. And I think a lot of times they just would rather the guy go do it and it be his thing. And they also enjoy staying home with the little ones more than a lot of guys do. And I'm not saying that makes you a bad father or whatever, but it's just a nurturing nature of a mom versus the dad kind of thing, especially at that a younger age of kids. So there's that aspect of it too. But I think time is probably a big one, especially for mothers. And even when dad isn't hunting, if he's working and mom's working and then she doesn't have time because she's got a job, or maybe she's got to take care of the kids and they don't have a babysitter. Like, there's so many variables that go into that time-wise with a mom, especially, that I think would get into time that they might spend hunting.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Even if they did enjoy it. They're also generally smarter than men on a lot of things, but especially when it comes to not wanting to be outside when it's cold and miserable. So sitting in the freezing cold for 50 days out of the year just to hopefully get a shot of the deer isn't usually their idea of fun in my experience. So most of the women that I know in my life are not really keen on going out when it's 25 degrees in the snow or the wind or the rain and sitting for 3 hours and potentially not seeing any deer just to hopefully get a shot at one deer. So their IQ might have a little bit to do with it as well versus ours. Obviously, that's a little tongue-in-cheek, but there is some truth to that too. It doesn't always seem as attractive to them to go outside and freeze and be miserable to shoot at a deer as it does to guys. Just is what it is. Now, there are plenty of women who do hunt, and I think I talked a little bit about that with Julie McQueen on the podcast we did with her. She is the president of Carbon TV. So you guys can go back and listen to that one. She had some thoughts on that, if I remember right. So obviously, there are, again, women who do it. And there's several famous female hunters as well. So there is some influence out there, hopefully, for the younger generation of females to get in the outdoors and get to hunting. But I think all those things probably go into it. I'm sure there's a lot that I'm not hitting on and that I hadn't thought of. But that's where you guys come in. If you're listen to this and you got thoughts, leave it in the comments. Let me know what you think. Why don't more women hunt? Especially if there are any females listening, which usually there are not. But if there are, what are your guys' thoughts on it? If you're listening to this show, it's likely that you hunt. But what would be some of the obstacles you could see for keeping other females from hunting? And why would you maybe leave them some encouragement to get out there and do it? Because I think everybody can enjoy it. It doesn't have to be just a guy thing. Obviously, like I said, there's plenty of women who do it. I would hope that more of them could get out there and have that experience and get hooked on it just like the guys do. And then they could have that passion for the outdoors as well. And the more, the merrier when it comes to hunters, in my opinion. So again, what do you guys think? Why do you think there aren't as many women hunters? Let me know in the comments. Send us an email, a message on social media, whatever. I'd be curious to see what you guys think on that as well. So the last two I got are kind of related, like I said. And these are questions we get a lot at shows in person, like the expos and stuff like that. But I'll also get some messages on it every now and then. The first one is, what do we use to film and edit our videos, especially hunting videos? So currently, everyone except Dusty runs a Canon HF G70, and they are super user-friendly. They take good video, and they don't break the bank, and that's kind of why we use them. Especially since we do a lot of self-filming, it's easier to use their camcorder style, so it's easier to use those with the launch controller than it is the DSLR or mirrorless, which is what Dusty's using, and I don't remember the brand, if it's a Nikon or a Canon. I'm not 100% sure on that, but these HF G70s, like I said, camcorder style, they're super easy to use. They're not the cheapest camera, but they're not the most expensive camera. They have the ability to add an external microphone, which is nice. And again, you can put a controller on them, which is nice. They do 4K video. They have pretty good zoom on them. There's a couple things they don't do that I wish they did. Like, I can't do super slow-mo stuff with them because they don't go to the frames per second at the high-quality video that I want. That's where a DSLR or a mirrorless really shine, in my opinion, is that high quality at slow motion and zoomed in and stuff like that. They do have, these G70s do have pretty good autofocus on them. We try not to use it as much as possible when you're in the woods because inevitably, like you guys have seen in the past, it'll focus on something that's not supposed to right at the moment of truth when you're trying to shoot at a deer. But they do pretty good with that. The image stabilization is pretty decent on them. So overall, it's a pretty solid camera. So it's a Canon HF G70. They have a G50, I believe, as well, which is just the earlier generation of the G70s, and it's a really solid camera. It's probably even a little bit cheaper than the 70 now, and that would be a good starter camera for anybody out there listening that might want to get into it. We also use GoPros. I think we all have the Hero 10 for our secondary angles on everything, so those are really handy for that. I'll use them for interviews some. I have a little media kit, they call it, for mine that has a microphone on it and plugins. So I'll use it for interviews and things like that. I'll use it for B-roll, walking in and walking out. It's super handy instead of having to get the big camera out. It does, obviously, really wide angles, so it's good for those second angles so you can see everything. And especially if you're self-filming, if you want to make quality video, you have to have a second angle, in my opinion. Otherwise, you're missing so much of the hunt. But that's neither here nor there on what we're using. But those GoPros have been pretty good to us. The one thing I will say is you got to get the white batteries if you're going to use a GoPro, because as soon as it gets cold at all, like 50 degrees, when that battery hits 50% or below, you turn it on, it's going to run for like 10 seconds and it's going to turn off and say it died. So get the white batteries for them. So far, my experience with those has been really good. They hold the charge in the cold weather. That's what they're designed for. I would recommend those if you're going to run a GoPro. The difference in the GoPro and the big camera when it comes to just filming is the quality that you're going to get and what you're going to be able to do with it after filming. So on the big cameras, we can zoom in. I can zoom in and post too a little bit and do okay with them, but they're so much better for close-up, really detailed video, like more professional quality stuff. Whereas if you just want to get the hunt, kind of capture it so you can share it with friends and family or whatever, you don't really care if it's awesome quality and you don't care if the deer's like super zoomed in and you don't want to do any really slow-mo stuff, you could just use one GoPro and put it up above you, put it on super wide, and it's going to get pretty much everything that comes in. You're just not going to be able to zoom as much because they have very little zoom, so you're not going to be able to see it as well. But you could see the deer coming in and you shooting and everything like that. So the GoPro would be fine on its own if that's what you're into, but if you're looking to get more of a professional quality video at the end, then I would recommend a bigger camera like that G50. I know Sony makes a lot of good stuff as well. There's different options out there for that, but that and a secondary angle. And we put them on Fourth Arrow camera arms. I think we all have, again, I'm not sure what Dusty's running as far as camera arm goes, but me, Blake, and Nate, and then anytime I go with Dad, we'll use a Fourth Arrow camera arm. And we really like all their stuff. It's really good quality. So if you guys are looking to do some self-filming, I would recommend Fourth Arrow. They're not a partner of ours or anything like that yet. Hopefully, maybe we can work something out with them in the future. But I would recommend using that Fourth Arrow stuff. So the backside of it, the editing. Right now, I use Adobe Premiere Pro to do basically all of our video edits. It does cost money, but it's got a lot of good features, and it's pretty user-friendly, especially after you get used to it. The very first video I edited, I've told people this before, is like a 10 or 15 minute It was the season one, episode one. It's like 10 or 15 minutes. I don't remember. And it took me 10 or 12 hours to get the thing edited because it was the first time I'd ever got into Premiere Pro. I had some experience with Adobe from college, but not ever with video editing. So it was a pretty steep learning curve. But again, 10 to 12 hours is not that long in the grand scheme of things when it comes to learning a program like that. So as I've gotten better at it over the last 3 years, you can get really efficient in it, especially if you're doing kind of cookie cutter style videos like the podcasts or anything like that. It's super easy to use, especially, like I said, after you get familiar with it. But it is going to cost a little bit of money because it does have a lot of good features and it's a pretty powerful tool. A good free app that I used when we were just doing vlogs and that I still use sometimes for quick, super quick edits on my phone or very small projects is InShot. And that's a mobile app that's free and it has some pretty good features as well. So you can do crossfades and you can do some stuff with your audio, fade in and fade out. You can do fade to blacks on it. You can do text on the screen that has different transitions in it. It's a pretty solid app for free on your phone. So that's something too. You could use your phone to film stuff as good as these phones do now, as long as you're not zoomed in. You could get a phone mount on your bow or on your stand. Fourth Arrow even makes a camera arm for your phone. And I'm sure there's other ones out there as well. Muddy probably makes some different people that make camera arms. But you could do that. You could get InShot and you could make a pretty decent little video just by using your phone and that InShot app. So those would be my recommendations. That's what we use and that's kind of what I would recommend. It seems to work fairly well for us. It seems to be pretty easy to use. If I can do it, you know it's got to be easy to use and pretty easy to do. So that's a testament in itself to the equipment that I just talked about and the software. The last question, like I said, is somewhat related. What is a good starter podcast setup? And we get that one a ton at shows because that's what we're there doing. We're promoting the podcast. We're promoting the shows. So guys are curious because everybody's got a podcast now. You hear that a lot. Not everybody sticks around, but a lot of people are interested in starting one because they have thoughts and they want to get them out there and put their opinions out, and that's great. I think the more the merrier on that too. There's room for everybody that's got a good show. So we get asked a lot, what would be a good starter setup? And I always recommend what our starter setup is, but right now, or what our starter setup was, but currently we're running a Rodecaster Pro 2 and two of the Shure SM7B mics. Now that is not a cheap setup by any means, and I've got these Shure arms as well, mic stands as well that come up from the bottom. We have some kind of over the, I forget what they're even called, tabletop mic stands, but they bend up high instead of down low. So these ones, in my opinion, look a little bit better on camera. And I don't have anything in front of me when I'm trying to talk across the table to a guest or to Nate or Blake or something like that. So these are pretty nice. This is, like I said, by no means a cheap setup, but it is a good setup. These mics are top of the line for podcasts. The arms are some of the better ones out there. Of course, you got mic cables and stuff like that too. The Pro 2 is one of the better boards out there, in my opinion, and from reviews I've read and stuff like that, forums and whatnot. We do still have four Zoom ZDM1 mics that are pretty good. I believe that's what Austin uses on Full Draw Friday. So it loses a little bit of quality in because we're using Zoom to do those with because he's obviously in Kansas City and I'm here. So it loses a little bit of quality over the Zoom call and the connection, but it's still super good quality on that microphone, even especially for that. And you guys can tell the difference. I think it was last Full Draw Friday. He bumped his cable or something and the mic shut off and he went to his computer audio for like the last couple minutes of that episode. And you can really tell the difference in his mic audio quality versus his computer, right? So those Zoom ZDM1s are pretty good mics, especially for the money. And you can get them with headphones, which is still the headphones we use. I got some right here. If you guys are on YouTube, you can see them. It's still the headphones that we use today. They're not like top of the line, but they're not bad at all. And you can get that mic and a set of headphones for less than $100, I'm pretty sure. That's what we started out with. But before the Pro 2, we had the Rodecaster Pro 1, which we did use for this main show, but now it's moved out to the green screen room. So anytime you guys see us doing hunting video, playing hunting games, watching hunting or trivia or some of the podcasts that we've done with stuff behind us, green screen, anything out there is going to be on that Pro 1, and it's a really good board as well. I'd say you could probably get even a refurbished one of those for fairly cheap. It's got a lot of powerful tools in it. Doesn't have quite as much integrated as the Pro 2, but it's got more than the original one we started with, which was the Zoom PodTrack P4. And that is always my recommendation to guys when they ask for a starter setup. It's what we used. I was always pretty happy with it. It's not as good a quality as the Rodecaster for sure, but for $150, it's really hard to beat. It's got four XLR inputs on it. It's got one 3.5 millimeter jack on it for like your phone, or you'd have to have an adapter now for most phones, I guess, but you can plug your phone into it. It does have a USB-C, and I don't remember if that's an input also or if it's just for power, but it also has a small sound pad that you can put effects on if you want to. You can do multi-track recording with it, so you plug in four microphones. You can have four tracks when you go to edit, so that's kind of nice, especially if you have like a heavy breather in a microphone or something, and when they're not talking, you want to turn their mic down. Not that we've ever had that problem, but let's just say you did. You could multi-track it and take care of that issue. Again, fairly cheap for the money. It's going to be hard to beat, and I still keep ours around as a backup, and it's really good for remote shows where we don't have power because it runs on two AA batteries. You can either plug that USB-C in and run power to it, or it runs off of two batteries, and I think it runs for like up to an hour on those two batteries, so it's really handy for remotes. It's small. It's not much bigger than your phone. It's thicker than your phone, but it's not huge by any means, and that is a really good starter setup. So I would recommend, if you're starting out, get that PodTrack P4, get a set of the headphones and that Zoom ZDM1 mic, and then see how things are going to go. You can get free editing softwares like Audacity. I use that forever for our audio only podcasts to edit that stuff. So you can do that with that Zoom setup and Audacity, and you can have a pretty good show. As long as the content's good, the quality's going to be good enough to carry you until maybe you can do something else. But I wouldn't go drop thousands of dollars on stuff before you even realize how much work it actually is, and if you enjoy doing it, and if you have enough to talk about, and if people want to hear what you have to say. So the Zoom PodTrack P4, the Zoom ZDM1 mics, and Audacity are going to get you a long way for an audio podcast. It's not Joe Rogan quality, but they do a really good job, especially for the price. So that would be my recommendation for that. And that is all I have for this Q&A. If you guys like the Q&A setup, I would love to do more of those on Fridays especially, but then again, like Monday episodes where I don't have a guest on and nobody else is able to make it in, it would be nice to have some Q&A as well to kind of get you guys involved. So you can send us questions, either comment on this video, you can send it through our social media, which again is Ridge Hunter Outdoors. You can send it through our website, ridgehunteroutdoors.com, ridgehunteroutdoors@gmail.com is the email account you could send questions to. Any of those places, if you guys want a question answered on the podcast, send it in. I never use anybody's name or anything like that, so I won't out you, even if you have a dumb question. But if you remember, there are no stupid questions, only stupid people. So don't be afraid to send whatever questions you got. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Hopefully, we can get somebody else on here next week, because I'm sure you guys are tired of listening to me. Solo Friday episode, solo Monday episode, deer season dailies all week. Don't forget about those. It's the first full week of November for deer season daily. Have another one coming out tomorrow morning, so hit the subscribe button, hit the follow button so you know when those come out. Again, thanks for tuning in, and I will see you on Deer Season Daily tomorrow morning.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.